Summer 1982. It was late August and still very hot. I was hiking alone up the trail to Camel's Foot with a heavy pack on my back, choosing to walk rather than drive. I'd done this trail before, but this was the first time that I was going home. While the hike in is only a little over 3 miles, it is uphill all the way. But the trail was well maintained, and even though there were spots where I would have to use both hands and feet, I knew that if I was careful, I would arrive safely. I just quit smoking cigarettes, so my lungs were straining with each step. The discomfort of the climb was overshadowed by the excitement of the adventure. The trail was so stunningly beautiful, and this was a moment to myself. Kip was driving the mountain pass on the 7-mile rough mountain road. The children were with him. Julie was hardly a child at 16, but Shannon and Willie were at ages 13 and 10. Willie was beside himself with joy, but Shannon was angry. Camel's Foot, a huge acreage nestled in a mountain valley and completely surrounded by crown land, had once been an outdoor school, but as Van would later describe it in a compass and a chart, they had left little behind. A dilapidated cook shack, a lopsided barn, a foundation for a cabin, and several outlying cabins crudely built. There was an undeveloped garden, a quarter mile downstream from our domestic center that we used for the first few summers. It was the perfect place to throw off your clothes and enjoy the sun. In Van's telling of the founding of Camel's Foot, about 67 trips over the pass were made in a reliable Chevy Suburban 4x4 loaded down to the axle, hauling everything from the old world to the promising new world. My family's worldly goods were to take another 27 loads. Improvements had been made by the time we arrived. A large cabin had been built and filled with books and comfortable furniture, followed by an addition with a quiet reading space and two warm bedrooms for Fred and Susan and Eleanor and Van and their young child, Robin. Others were housed in a small, newly built bunkhouse, and 6 or 7 teepees were scattered in the forest around the growing settlement. The folks, as the communards referred to themselves, had just begun a massive hydroelectric project. Given our commune's location deep in the mountains, we would never be able to plug into the grid, not that any of us would ever have wanted to. In fact, in the valley below us, the logging road from town still afforded no grid hookup or phone service nearer than the Statlium community halfway to Lillooet. At certain times of the year, it was all the highway engineers could do to keep the road open with its constant sloughing and avalanche problems. The Camel's Foot ambition was to become self-sufficient, with an independent power system that would generate enough electricity for a small village of about 50 individuals. Ambitious indeed. Kip and I felt that they needed our help, and this project was a big motivator for our taking the plunge, or perhaps, more aptly put, the ascent to Camel's Foot. A 6-foot-deep trench would be dug by backhoe a couple of miles across a long hillside to the water intake, white PVC pipe 8 inches in diameter glued every 12 feet would then be placed in the bed. Then the plan called for Len, a friend from down in the valley, to come with his chainsaw and his skill and create a giant insulated log box to house the end of the pipe and all the fancy fittings. The penstock would then be installed much closer to home. The penstock is a smaller pipe that joins to the other end of the water line and drops down a very steep slope, bringing water to the heavy-duty turbine to turn the generator and make electricity. Power from water. Amazing to me. But we were a long way from this miracle.